Gamar Jobo, Odessa Vugzal. This is Kabilpot.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our sunny and beautiful temporary studios in Odessa, the grandiose train station. Today is Friday, the 12th of July, 2013. Sorry we're a day late. I ended up unexpectedly anchored off the Russian Black Sea coast in a cargo ship for several days with no internet. On this date, in 1561, St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow is consecrated. 1690, the Battle of the Boyne in Ireland. 1804, former United States Secretary of the Treasury Alexander Hamilton dies the day after being shot in a duel. 1812, the United States invades Canada at Windsor, Ontario. 1920, Soviet Russia recognizes independent Lithuania. They later change their mind. So, for our listeners on Pacific Islands or in Latin America, you are free to do the same with Abkhazia. 1943, Russians halt German advance at Kursk, the largest tank battle in history. 1957, the Nizari Ismaili sect of Shia Islam proclaims Prince Karim al-Hussein of Pakistan, Aga Khan IV. 1962, the Rolling Stones perform their first ever concert at the Marquee Club in London. 1984, Geraldine Ferraro is named vice presidential candidate to Walter Mondale. In 1990, Boris Yeltsin resigns from the Communist Party just 2 days after Mikhail Gorbachev is reelected as head of the Soviet Communist Party. Birthdays today are scientist and inventor George Washington Carver, thinker and mama's boy Henry David Thoreau, painter and son Andrew Wyeth, poet and possible murder victim Pablo Neruda, Philadelphian and Wesleyan University honorary doctorate recipient Bill Cosby, hip genius Buckminster Fuller, and George Orr, the Mad Potter of Biloxi. If you don't know who he is, you should check him out. That's O-H-R. He's a very interesting guy. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thank you again for those posting to our forum. Stephen Turey posted a good one on the to and fro related to the presidential election date. We will post the link. This brings up another important point. In the election law, they should fix the election date as the first Thursday, the first Sunday of October or something like that, or the third Sunday of October or whatever. It's very easy to do. It would make for a much more level playing field. The current system makes it difficult to plan for those parties not in power. Very easy to fix. To comment or ask for our opinion or follow up on a topic, go to tabilpod.com or send us an email at tabilpod@gmail.com. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is a short one about school textbooks. There's an eternal problem in every country, as well as in Georgia, and there's a very easy solution. Just have the ministry say that all textbooks will be open so that anybody can print them for free and edit them, and that they're under Creative Commons license. The current textbooks have tons of mistakes, aren't very good, are only on paper, are very expensive, and have terrible distribution. Open textbooks would solve all of this. On the 8th of July, Bidzina Ivanishvili, Prime Minister, called on Chief Prosecutor Archil Kvilashvili to revise his decision on releasing Lado Berukadze, the former prison official who published the now infamous prison torture videos just prior to the October parliamentary elections. Berukadze was arrested in January after returning to Tbilisi from Europe. Kvilashvili released Berukadze in mid-June as a whistleblower. At a press conference with Stefan Füle, the European Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Policy, Misha said that he suspects that this decision to exempt Berukadze from legal responsibility came directly from BI and not from Kvilashvili. Parliamentary Chairman Datu Supashvili commented that although the decision regarding Berukadze was not reasonable, the chief prosecutor did not break any laws. Quote, I cannot recall any person in the coalition who believes that Kvilashvili's decision about Vladimir Berukadze was right. The majority thinks, and I agree with them, that a similar decision on this type of case was not reasonable. End quote. He said, Justice Minister Teodosiu Lukiani stated that despite protests and objections, the court ruling on the prisoner's torture case can only be changed if, quote, new circumstances arise, end quote. Kvilashvili stated that not trying Berukadze was the correct decision because by releasing the tapes, he almost put an end to prison torture. Kvilashvili added that he is ready to leave his post at any time. Better if he were to fire his deputies, but okay. Anyway, so we here at Kabilpot.com have been looking into the registration of the agriculture, the resignation of the agriculture minister and the arrest of his deputies. It is my considered judgment that it is completely unfair. He didn't do anything illegal or unethical, but that a company that had won a lot of tenders lost one, got angry, and one way or another got them prosecuted and had him removed. And they have been treated very badly in jail. Some of them signed confessions, others didn't. It's a very sordid tale, so follow this one. According to Mamuka Ivaniadze, who was indicted in the case, he was forced to give testimony against Kirvelidze, the former minister. Ivaniadze said at a press conference that he was under pressure after his detention, and he was forced to sign a testimony written not by him, but by prosecutor Georgi Davitashvili. According to Ivaniadze, he will change his testimony at the trial. He suspects he was forced to give testimony against Kirvelidze for political reasons. Big question here, as with so many charges, is why is it criminal and not civil? I would encourage anybody who pays attention to human rights to follow this carefully, particularly ask about those who are still in jail. 36-year-old man named Mamuka Mikuatadze committed suicide in the Tbilisi Sea after being interrogated by police. The Interior Ministry is accused of torturing him into giving testimony against friends. Family members say he was detained by the police the previous day and for a few hours was questioned at the main police department in Tbilisi. He later called family members saying the police forced him to confess because of torture and then committed suicide. Interior Minister Irakli Kharibashvili said that the investigation is still ongoing, so he doesn't want to jump to conclusions. Chairman of Parliament, Datu Tsupashvili, said that like so many others, he too has, quote, questions about the case, end quote. The previously mentioned Stefan Füle, European Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Policy, is in Georgia. He met with Misha and members of the parliamentary opposition, among, of course, governmental poobahs. One of the issues being negotiated is visa-free travel, or at least less restricted visa travel. During the visit to Georgia, the European Commissioner met with the Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister, and other government officials. I've heard that the countries that worry about visa-free travel are particularly Spain and Austria, each of which have many, many Georgians in prison there. Vienna and Barcelona are both known as important cities for Georgian mobsters, as well as regular Georgian emigrants, of course. The other thing that may be connected are Georgia's visa arrangements with other nearby countries, Iran, etc. Sadly, these discussions are behind closed doors, so we don't know too much. Justice Ministry has prepared draft amendments regarding loan and mortgage agreements that will affect regulations on compulsory auctions of debtors' property. The amendments are set to be adopted in September. Justice Minister Teas Tsoulikiani stated these agreements should be registered by a notary. So, quote, the debtor's solvency is checked to prevent future abuse by the private creditor's side, end quote. The draft preserves the creditor's right to take property from a debtor if they fail to pay. However, the creditor has the obligation to repay the debtor the difference between the market value of reclaimed property and the amount of the debt. An upper limit for interest is set for mortgage loan agreements. There's also a requirement that the creditor inform the debtor if they seek to hold an auction. On the 6th of July, UNM Parliamentary Minority Leader Dato Bakradze met with BI and Parliamentary Chairman Datu Tsupashvili. The meeting, which lasted for about an hour and a half, took place in BI's private seaside residence in Ureki in western Georgia. Bakuradze said that after meeting, that despite fundamental differences, it was possible to reach an agreement on a number of issues like creating a state commission for constitutional reform, the questioning of hundreds of UNM donors, and UNM's boycotting of the parliament. In its report on national forestry policy, the Ministry of Environment said that forest regulation is out of date or non-existent. They've put forward a draft national forest policy document which defines the policies for all forests in Georgia, irrespective of ownership. If you're interested, you can make comments on the draft until the 15th of July. If you email n.yordanishvili@anr.ge, that will be on our forum. We will post the link to the ministry's website as well there. On the 8th of July, more than 40 healthy trees were cut down at a former psychiatric clinic in Tbilisi. Protesters rallied outside demanding an end to the destruction of these trees, and the cutting stopped that day, but there's no guarantee that it will not resume. Environment Minister Khatuna Gogoladze said that it is difficult to stop this because the government sold the territory to a private company in 2010. BD Property, the company that owns the land, issued a statement saying they will implement all obligations included in the contract, including constructing a park along with the apartment complex. They said they will only cut down old and damaged trees. The problem is a lot of these agreements are very hard to find, and what happens is that there'll be some land that was publicly owned that's privately sold, but the public land had a park that everybody got used to using, and the obligations of the new private owner, often an owner close to the government, although not always, but often, and they'll the park will be much smaller or not at all. Despite BI's prognosis of the state budget, the ministers of economy and finance said it is impossible to achieve 6% economic growth by the end of the year. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri said the country can only achieve economic growth through developing the business sector. Economic growth in May this year was 0%, which caused a wave of criticism from the government. Khaduri tried to explain why this happened and used an example of a company which had $168 million in turnover last year but hasn't done anything before or since. Khaduri said, quote, "We are studying where such companies are coming from and where they go." Word around the block is that the rail bypass is delayed for 3 years. One of the purposes of building the Tbilisi Railway bypass was to avoid oil trains, the possibility of train wrecks inside the city. These are trains, for those of you who don't know or have not seen, going right through the middle of the city through the regular train station are many, many cylindrical train cars filled with crude oil that are going to from Baku to Batumi and then off to refineries. There was a spill like this recently in Canada. The majority of the big work is already completed, including the bridges, four tunnels, cuts in hills and valleys. All that remains is the tracks, signal, and power lines. Georgian Rail makes an estimated $100 million a year from transit fees from oil. Building the bypass could increase the volume of transit currently bottlenecked in Tbilisi, which would increase profits. The rail line is being constructed by China Rail Construction Company and supervised by ILF, a well-established German engineering company. Of course, the other part of the plan, made under the deeply pro-car UNM, was to pull up the tracks in the center city entirely and make tons of money on the property development. Currently, there's a great deal of passenger traffic by rail, but this is subsidized. They wanted to have what was in the original plans. They wanted to have no rails at all and just get rid of the central train station as a train station, pull up the tracks. Anybody going to Kakheti would have to go from the airport. Anybody going to Batumi or Kutaisi or Zugdidi would have to go from Carrefour out in the Northwest Territories past the American Embassy. This is a really, truly terrible idea. Many cities have done this and pulled up tracks in the middle of the city to develop property or make money or whatever else, and they all end up regretting it. The obvious solution is to keep the tracks in the middle of the city just for passenger traffic, and then build a bypass for oil and cargo. In the meantime, the same construction and supervising companies are making a tunnel near Khashoggi. This is planned to be 8 kilometers long. A recent collapse of about 400 meters from the entrance has caused structural damage to some houses and has made water wells in the village go dry. No compensation or replacement source has been given to the victims, who rely on groundwater for gardening. There is no study of the ground or ecological conditions before the construction started. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus is Transparency International. International Georgia is on the case. On the 7th of July, three activists from Free Zone NGO were arrested following a Dinamo Tbilisi Dinamo Moscow soccer game. They were protesting Russian Duma members who were at the match. The protesters, Dato Gogokhia, Irakli Chikvirkia, Chirkvaya and Lasha Ruchia, wore posters which said Abkhazia and Samochablo, Georgia, and MPs, occupants, get out of Georgia. The charge was disobedience and petty hooliganism. Defense Minister Irakli Alasania said that he supports the members of the Free Zone NGO and hopes they'll be released soon. Financial Monitoring Service accuses UNM of illicit donations of 5.2 million lari. Zura Aznarashvili, acting head of the Financial Monitoring Service, said, quote, "In 2012, the social service agency with the employment program signed a labor agreement with 21,837 people who conducted a pre-election campaign for the benefit of the party. This makes it obvious that the goals of the employment program were neglected and the funds were used to benefit the pre-election campaign of UNM," end quote. The Estonian president, Tuomas Ilves, who's from New Brunswick, New Jersey, by the way, responded to the detention of former high-ranking officials in Georgia and stated that, quote, Now the new government of Georgia is arresting the opposition presidential candidate and telling us he is not a candidate at all and he failed to register. It seems that they consider us to be stupid, but we are not, end quote. Ilves is not stupid, by the way. TI Georgia reported that according to the new Global Corruption Barometer survey, only 4% of the Georgian population say they paid bribes in the 12 months prior to September 2012 when the survey was conducted. To compare, according to previous surveys in 2010, 3% of the survey participants responded positively to the same question. Survey emphasized, I'm sure that's below the margin of error, by the way, survey emphasized that nepotism in the public sector remains a problem in Georgia. Survey was conducted by the Institute of Polling and Marketing through face-to-face polling of 1,000 Georgian citizens. According to the 2013 Global Innovation Index, Georgia moved down two places to 73rd place out of 142 countries. In the South Caucasus region, it is now listed between Armenia in 59th place and Azerbaijan in 105th place. The Global Innovation Index is an annual publication which features, among other things, a composite indicator that ranks countries and economies in terms of their enabling environment to innovation and their innovation outputs. I might note, by the way, that there is still no book in Georgian that explains how to write a business plan for entrepreneurs, considering all of the gazillions that various donors, including USAID, have spent on enabling environment for a healthy economy. On the 5th of July, the newly appointed mayor of Kutaisi, Dmitry Kopaliani, dismissed two vice mayors for improperly using state funds. According to the report, Amidan Zotsenidze is accused of improperly using cleaning service funds, while Kote Ratiani is accused of delaying salary payments. The now former vice mayors deny the accusations and say they were dismissed because of their political affiliations. The new mayor of Kutaisi has other problems as well. The faction Alliance of Georgia's Patriots, who are the majority in the Kutaisi Assembly, demand his impeachment. The faction is mostly made up of former UNM people. Let's just get mayors in cities, all of them, elected soon. The Ministry of Internal Affairs reported that the total number of crimes has decreased by 3,277 cases in the first 6 months of 2013 in comparison with the same period in 2012. They also say that case-solving efficiency has doubled this year. Doesn't really fit anecdotally with what everybody's saying, but who knows? The newspaper Resonanci reported that the first agricultural cooperative will be established in Georgia in 2014. A 15 million euro grant from the EU for Georgia will support the establishment of cooperatives. It's set to be launched in September. In a few days, the parliament will approve a corresponding draft bill which will encourage farmers' cooperatives by giving them the status of corporate clients in relations with banks. Foreign citizens will not be able to participate. The Election Administration of Georgia published the number of eligible voters for the Georgian presidential election, approximately 3.5 million. Largest numbers of voters registered is in Kutaisi constituency, 158,000. The fewest are registered in Kazbegi, 5,700. Presidential elections will be held on the 27th of October. These constituencies are holdover from the Soviet era called rayons and are the MP districts in American parlance or constituencies in British term. That is likely to change in the new parliament. I've heard that and fully support that they are likely to use Georgia's traditional regions and have multi-member constituencies. So according to their population, they would get somewhere between perhaps 2 and 15 MPs allocated in proportion to the votes they receive. That way they'd use the regular borders that are already well established for the regions. And there wouldn't be problems in districting as there are in the United States. Since, as anyone who knows anything knows, it's the boundaries of the district that decide the outcome of the elections rather than the votes. GeoWell published a comparative analysis of the agriculture sectors in Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia. The Swiss Development Corporation financed the research. A 230-page report studied the period between the 1990s ending in October 2012. Here are some interesting tidbits in the report. Low Georgian productivity is not a problem of land plot size, as is evidenced by comparing Armenia and Azerbaijan, who have much higher levels of productivity despite the same average land plot size. Georgia has a habit of exporting live animals and importing cheaper frozen meat. Recent crop trends show an increase in the production of nuts, watermelons, and potatoes. Two of the major missed opportunities in Georgia are mountain grazing for calves and winter milk production, which has a higher selling price. So, read the report and let us know what the low Georgian productivity is a result of. Ministry of Economy stated that Georgia will join the European Organization for the Safety of Air Navigation, a.k.a. Eurocontrol, by the end of this year. Currently, Eurocontrol unites 39 member states. La Rize Water Cafe opened in the yard of some epic cathedral in Tbilisi. The restaurant is open every day from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. The cafe was blessed by Ilya II. The Civil Service Bureau is going to launch a renovated web page in the next week. Georgi Glasalia, chief programmer of the Bureau's Declaration Department, said that the website has an improved search function as well as a hotline, online help, and a system which sends out reminders for people to fill out declarations. The page will be posted on our forum. Try it out. A film by Nana Ekhtimashvili and Simon Gross, Long Bright Days, was nominated for the European Parliament-sponsored Lux Prize. The prize winner will be announced in Strasbourg in December 2013. A teacher in Kutaisi left a teacher's examination, supposedly for religious reasons. According to newposts.ge, the teacher refused to participate because during the exam she was sitting at desk number 6, and when she summed the numbers of nearby desks, she arrived at the number of the beast. Following up on last week's story about the conflict between Orthodox Christians and the Muslims in Samtatskharo, prayer leader Suliko Kozrevanidze left his home after many threats against him and his family. He said, quote, "I got ill from being nervous all the time," end quote. He added that his family is staying behind in Samtatskharo. "My children," quote, "my children also won't go pray," end quote. On the 11th of July, Ilya II met with Muslims and Orthodox Christians in Samtatskharo. Ilya said, quote, "I was born in Kazbegi, and Muslim Kis often visited our family. We were very happy when they came. My mother and grandmother spread mats in the best rooms for the Muslims to pray. We prayed before icons and then sat and had dinner together." Ilya II said that God is one and Muslims and Georgians must help each other. Iraqi Al-Nassar Airlines started flights from the Tbilisi International Airport. The flights will travel three routes, Najaf-Tbilisi, Basra-Tbilisi, and Baghdad-Tbilisi, 5 days a week. Al-Nassar Airlines is the new and first private airline in Iraq's history. Georgia's UNICEF-sponsored Early Childhood Survival and Development Conference, which took place last month, has released their official call for action for 2013-15. Here are their goals. First, ensuring universal access to quality preschool education to 100% of preschool-age kids by improving infrastructure, covering operating costs, and enforcing minimum quality standards. Second, reducing under-5 mortality from 21 to 16 per 1,000 live births by reducing malnutrition and improving prenatal care. Third, establishing an intersectoral task force to agree on the type and implementation mechanisms for universal child benefits for those under the age of 6. Fourth, ending the use of institutional care for all children younger than 6 years old by expanding early intervention services and establishing home care services for disabled children. Wish them luck. That's an important, important thing. In Parliament news this week, the Ministry of Internal Affairs has added amendments to the Code of Administrative Offences which ban, quote, immoral activities, end quote, in public spaces. Drinking alcohol in public and other immoral behavior in the streets will be fined 300 lari for a first offense, second offense, 500 lari fine, third offense, 700 lari fine. According to the head of Public Relations Department of the Ministry, Nino Giorgobiani, the draft law will not ban dating or kissing in public. Well, thank heavens. A month-long review process of amendments to the Constitution began earlier this week. Aim of many of these amendments is to reduce the power of the Prime Minister, which would have been enlarged after the October 13th presidential elections. For those who don't know, the Constitution was amended a year and a half or so ago, with the amendments taking place after these coming presidential elections, which is, of course, completely ridiculous. So, anyway, the Constitution is quite a mess right now, and there's a lot that needs to be overhauled because of the habit of the national movement when they controlled Parliament of passing it without really talking to anybody about it. Georgian Dream suggested 5 amendments to the Constitution. 2 will decrease the votes needed to override a presidential veto from 3/4 to 2/3, which will affect adopting constitutional changes. Under the current constitution, this requires a two-thirds vote. However, when the new constitution comes into force, this number will increase to three-quarters. Another change will leave in force a clause of the current constitution which requires a parliamentary vote of no confidence if a third or more of the government members are changed. There will also be a new section of the constitution dealing with the budgetary approval process. This will give the parliament two more months to work on the following year's budget before the automatic dismissal of the government and a potential new election if a new government can't agree upon it. The last amendment proposed lifts a restriction for people with multiple citizenships to hold the post of president, prime minister, and the speaker of parliament. Ministry of Internal Affairs put forward a... By the way, if they're looking at that, what they ought to do is they ought to just get rid of the prohibition on dual citizenships and just say that any citizen, that any Georgian citizen can hold any position, and that any Georgian citizen can be a dual or triple or have as many passports as they want. The Ministry of Internal Affairs put forward an initiative which will fine those who sell alcohol to minors. If a retailer sells alcohol to a minor, he will have a 100 lari fine. Individual that sells alcohol to a minor will be fined 500 lari. In addition, sanctions will be toughened against parents whose children abuse drugs or are drunk in public spaces. That'll work. Currently, parents face a 200 lari penalty. According to the new draft, the fines will increase to 500 lari. Also, representatives of the Ministry of Internal Affairs may get diplomatic status as police security attaches and liaison officers. These individuals will be appointed by the Ministry of Internal Affairs after consultation with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Jumpstart has made a new visual timeline of Georgia's recent events. Viewers can submit events that they think should be included using the submission form at the top of the webpage. To check this out, visit our forum for the link. Things to read. Justice Minister Teotsu Lukiani has become a blogger. The minister believes that blogging is one of the best ways for a direct and honest relationship with the public. In her first post, the minister congratulated the population on adopting the new labor code and talks about future plans. Tsulukiani's blog can be found at the following address, teotsulukiani.wordpress.com. Florian Bierman's article in the Financial entitled, quote, "Economic Lessons of the Week, Tbilisi, a City for Cars, Not for People," end quote. A post on TI's blog about the chief sources of income of the Georgian Orthodox Church, which are private donations and funding from the state. Between 2002 and today, the government of Georgia allocated 200 million lari to the patriarch. I have heard informally that the day that came out is the highest number of hits that the TI website has ever gotten. Well into the thousands. BBC published Steve Rosenberg's article titled, quote, "Georgia, are glass-walled police stations enough to tackle corruption," end quote, with some clever quotes from me, Mark Mullen. So read it and learn what a Magarichi is. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 616,000, the number of pigs in Georgia in 1940, the first year in which pigs were counted in Georgia, according to Geostat's 2012 Agricultural Georgia Report. After a brief drop during the first few years of World War II, the number of pigs in Georgia rose steadily and peaked at 1.2 million in 1985. After independence, this bottomed at 330,000 in 1997, with a second bottom of only 86,000 pigs at the end of 2008. At the end of 2012, the number of pigs in Georgia was 204,000, barely one-third of what it had been 72 years earlier. Georgia also witnessed a decline in the number of cattle, sheep, and goats. Perhaps another interesting fact from the same report is that while only 0.8% of pigs and 0.4% of cattle are owned by enterprises as opposed to individual farmers, 28% of chickens are owned by companies. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament are Saturday the 13th of July, The Lone Ranger at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday the 17th of July, Pacific Rim at 7:30 p.m. Ticket costs 5 lari and 50 tetri. No Kolga movies this week. Next week, on Wednesday the 17th of July at 6:15 p.m., Works in Progress will host Jane Kitovich from Harvard University, who will talk about history that splinters, education reforms, and memory politics in Georgia. Lecture will take place at Zandukeli number 16 at the ISET CRC building. There's a new cafe in Tel Aviv. Sopo Giorgadze's cafe is called Marletta, and it's located in Tel Aviv at 13 Bagrationi Street. Go check it out. The owners are also farmers, grow most of the stuff themselves. We've heard it's fantastic. Any reports, let us know. The Tbilisi Beer Festival 2013 will be held on the 13th through the 14th of July at Rose Revolution Square. The event is sponsored by Natakhtari. Guests will have the opportunity to taste, you guessed it, Natakhtari, as well as Efes, Kozel, Ntieli, Kaiser, and to listen to the Georgian artists Svan Sikh, Loudspeaker, Salio, Shini, Zarebi, Zurgi, and Elena Kalandadze. Organizers of the Batumi Somerset Festival are preparing for the arrival of almost 50,000 music lovers between the 22nd and 24th of August. The program features electronic music and includes acts such as Faithless and Sleep Party People. Tickets prices start from around $40 US for all 3 days and $18 US for 1 day until August 1st. After that date, the prices increased to $70 US and $30 US respectively. VIP tickets are also available for $300 US. For additional information, visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/Batumi Somerset. If you're in Portland, Oregon, and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Kargigogo, the Georgian food cart pod. They sell badrijani, lobiani, khingali, khajapuri, and more. Tell your Portland, Oregon buddies about it. For more information, go to kargigogo.com or look up at Kargigogo PDX on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Kargigogo gear, t-shirts, baby onesies, I still don't know what those are, and tote bags are now for sale on their website. Beginning on the 17th of May, the first road safety radio program, Safe Driving, will be broadcast on FM Abkhazia, which is 98.9 on Wednesday, twice a month. The program dedicated to road safety in Georgia is sponsored by the Partnership for Road Safety. Topics for discussion include statistical data, safety risk factors, road safety education, first aid, safe infrastructure, safe cars, pedestrian safety, speeding, drunk driving, and other road safety issues. We will post a link on the Facebook page on our forum. I would encourage everyone to put in their phone calendars the exact time of that with a text reminder so that if you happen to be at a taxi that time, you can encourage your cab driver to switch over to FM Abkhazia. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. I will do my best not to be late again next week, but who knows what'll happen, and I don't know where we'll be. We'll finish with Marvin Gaye from 1963, Pride and Joy.
hope.